Meow.
Oh.
Oh, meow.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. I am Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. We got MK Lords, the something Wolfram Terrier. No, what is it?
The Wolfram Panther.
The Wolfram Panther. And Davi, you're the Angry Squirrel. What are you?
The Shiny Badger.
Yeah, Davi Barker. So, this is the Freedom Fiends, and we were all zombies all the time, and we liked that format, but not everybody did, and we don't care what people like. So we have decided we want to change to a new format, and it's the new Freedom Fiends format for the next 4 years. Every night, 7 days a week, it's going to be all Cantwell all the time. So there's this guy named Chris Cantwell. You know, Liberty. Liberty, those who can well and those who can't well. There's this guy named Chris Cantwell who has about 40 followers on the internet that want to have his babies. They're all men, but they follow him around like puppies. And then he's also got what I'm pretty sure he's got sock puppet accounts, which kind of make him look like he's got more people listening to him than he does. But for those who don't know, for those who've been living in a cave with Osama bin Laden and J.D. Salinger and don't know, a sock puppet. Can you explain a sock puppet, either of you?
Yeah,
it's just it's a puppet. Fake account that you use to comment on your own stuff to make it look like somebody's interested.
Or you argue with yourself and then win the argument to make you look mighty on the internet.
Although, you know what I used to use sock puppets for when I used to write for Examiner.com was reinforcing or contradicting the prejudice of the person I was arguing with by creating a sock puppet of the demographic that they trusted to say the same thing I was saying.
That's I'm amazed you admit that. Chris Cantwell won't admit that. I've never done a sock puppet. I think it's cheesy.
Well, I mean, I was just arguing with like mainstream Republicans and Democrats on that.
Then it's okay.
Thing. So
then
it was. Okay. I was really there to entertain myself. That's what I was doing.
It's not like you're, you know, dividing a movement or anything.
Saying that's didn't he? Who said you divided a movement?
I don't know. Someone did. So, I don't remember the person.
For those in Radioland who don't know, now you know what a sock puppet is. It's basically based on when kids, you know, when you'd entertain kids by taking two socks and putting them on your hands and going and doing a little puppet show. And it's kind of like that, running sock puppet accounts on the internet. I'm pretty sure that this guy, Chris Cantwell, who, for those in the radio audience who don't know, he's a guy in Liberty that kind of showed up, did things like burn flags, shot flags, said it's time to shoot cops.
Muzzle sweeping cameraman since 2012.
Yeah, muzzle. He claims to be a gun guy and like that he should lead the next American revolution, but he's a guy who is probably going to shoot himself in the foot at some point. Literally, like he's got the worst gun safety, gun handling habits of anyone I've ever seen who tries to put themselves out there as a gun guy. Would you say, MK?
I would definitely say that. You know, I grew up around guns and I learned to use them. And it's a little bit disturbing, to say the least. You know, and I'm a pretty big, we've talked about this before, we're sticklers about gun safety because it's a super dangerous tool that you're using. And if you've been on air in at least a couple different scenarios, swiping cameramen and displaying bad gun safety, then yeah, there's some issues there.
And sweeping your own foot and thigh, yeah, a few times
and
too.
And waving multiple guns around at the same time.
It's not safe. And you know, that's based on two videos I've seen by the guy that are like 3 minutes long. And in both of them, he sweeps the cameraman or the general public, if there's the cameras on a tripod, and his own thigh and leg. And I've produced two feature-length films. One, I've produced a bunch of them, but I've produced two that are about guns. One is Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And one is Gun Safety with the Non-Aggression Principle. The first is kind of a documentary. The second is a how-to. And they're about 90 minutes long each, and there is not a single frame of poor gun use in either of them. And I said that, and somebody pointed out to me that at one point, somebody's sweeping the camera. But that was, we actually like had, there were three people there, and we passed the gun around three times, and each of them checked three times to make sure that it was not loaded. And there's actually one where I hold a gun to someone's head. I'm playing a bad cop and I'm arresting a pot dealer, a medical marijuana dealer in it. Actually a milk dealer who also does marijuana, but And, you know, I had to play a cop and point a gun at someone's head. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, like, you know, for film. It was really difficult. And we, again, had three people each open and close the gun three times and check the chamber. That's overkill, but I'd rather have overkill than a kill, you know?
Well, yeah, I've had nightmares about accidentally shooting people or shooting someone who's trying to harm me. It's literally the worst thing I can think of that could actually happen. And I carry a gun almost every day for my job, but I also don't carry a gun sometimes because I don't feel that I'm threatened. And I'm a, you know, small framed woman, you know, could be a poster child for gun rights, but, you know, I don't feel comfortable carrying it all the time. And, you know, I don't really feel that it's necessary to carry all of the time too. I don't feel that I'm in constant threat, and I definitely don't feel the need to display that I'm carrying a firearm either.
Yeah. And to be clear, when you say you carry it for your job, you're not a government goon. You are a precious metals merchant.
Yes, I'm the office manager at a precious metals firm.
Yep. That we can't mention on air because we are this network is run by a different precious metals company. But yeah, you don't just carry a gun because you deal in precious metals, right?
Well, no, I also believe that It's a useful tool to have for self-defense as someone who likes to go out and hang out with friends or even just, you know, be out by myself and not have to really worry about things. You know, it's a part of self-defense. I live in a very dangerous town. I live in Pensacola, Florida, which is in the poorest county in Florida and has high violence rates, too. So, yeah, I don't necessarily feel safe walking around without it sometimes. Now, if I'm with my husband or with friends or something like that, where I feel that I'm secure, I don't feel the need to carry it as much. But yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of times where it's not necessary to carry, especially if you're physically able to ward off certain threats too. But, you know, I'm definitely for the right for everyone to carry no matter what, but gun safety first, of course.
I'm very into gun safety too, and I carry guns 100% of the time, even in the house. Like if I go down in the basement or in the garage, I have a gun with me. You know, you never know what's going to be in there. I mean, there could be a rabid squirrel in there or something. No, there could, you know, people break into houses and sneak into the basements to sleep, and who knows what could happen. And, you know, I don't figure that just be like, literally I go from one room to the other and bring a gun with me, and it's always pointed in a safe direction. And I would never, and I live in a pretty safe place, man. I live in a part of Wyoming that's got, it's got a really low murder rate. It's got a really low like crime on the street. Hardly anyone ever gets mugged here or attacked on the street, except there is a normal or above normal amount of violence here, but it's all people that know each other. And I don't know anyone here except my wife, and we'd never hurt each other. So, you know, all of the like assaults here are families or friends or drug deals gone bad. And I don't have any of that here except my wife. So, you know, I don't have any family here, so, and I don't drink. So I guess the thing I'm in danger of probably is, you know, maybe someone amped up on crank or something trying to like attack me on the street or break into the house or, you know, rabid elk or something or bears. There's big beasts here. Although, you know, a 40 cal handgun really, it'd be better than nothing for a bear, but it wouldn't necessarily stop the bear before it eats you.
You'd be better off running away from a bear.
Chris Cantwell carries bear mace too, and talk about that. I've seen it. I can tell. I've seen it. I've seen it. I'll tell it.
Maybe you should.
The bear mace is about being from New York, where he is not allowed to carry a weapon, and so that is the best form of self defense that he had available to him.
It's also the best form of self defense of offense, according to him, for dealing with people who say mean things about him on the internet. Now, for those who don't know, this guy we're talking about, Chris. Oh, he showed up at some guy's house. There's video of it, of him like in the middle of the night, like yelling on his bullhorn of his car PA over like, come out and fight, you know, something like, you know, yelling, waking a guy up in the middle of the night at his house on his property, yelling at him and challenging him and getting out of the car and having bear mace. And, it was all over something on the internet. Like that's how this guy deals with beefs on the internet. So Chris Cantwell is this guy who thinks he's the poster boy for libertarianism, the non-aggression principle, but he does it really poorly. And another thing is that he loves to poke people. He loves to rile up people and angry up their blood. Like, and he likes to go after like big libertarians like Jeffrey Tucker. Like he sent Jeffrey Tucker, Chris Cantwell made a picture in Photoshop of Jeffrey Tucker, like inserted into a gay orgy naked and like sent it and posted it. And then like Tucker contacted him about it and was like, why are you doing that, man? And he's like, oh, it's just for getting hits on the internet.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I mean, he's all about, you know, getting beer money from ad money on the internet and thinking he can make a career out of feisty posts where he burns American flags and shoots American flags and says, let's kill cops and things like that, and tries to be as incendiary as possible. But
which, can I say, is a waste of ammo? I mean, shooting a flag, you're going to waste ammo on a piece of fabric? I don't get it.
Yeah. It's a, well, you know, he's an attention seeker.
It's performance art.
It's performance art, and he thinks that that's a good idea. So,
your donations are being good.
But the thing is, well, he's not very popular, and he's also manipulating his Alexa rankings and bragging that he's more popular than he is. And he's also, I'm pretty sure, running sock puppets. If you go on his, the cool thing about, he uses the disgust.com implants on his website, you know, for comments. You can actually follow his comments without having to ever give him traffic and go to his site. If you go to his, you know, to go to his site once and then go to discuss and go to, you know, subscribe or whatever, or just go there, you can see the comments. He also loves to angry up people, loves to get traffic on his website, thinks there's no such thing as bad press until there is. He blocked me from his site after I pointed out that I thought he was using sock puppets. Like, he didn't want me to be able to be on there to like find out and prove it. And then he blocked you. Let's talk real quick about what he did with you. He can dish it out, but he can't take it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so he's actually blocked me twice. The first time was when I criticized his armed march on Washington with Adam Kokesh that I thought was kind of ridiculous. And then he unblocked me and then reblocked me again because I wrote an article called Libertarian Welfare Queens, where I said that people who earn their living and pay their bills off of the earnings of other libertarians primarily and aren't producing, I think, productive content, you know, things that are furthering, you know, liberty or philosophy or really anything. I kind of call them parasitical, and he got a bit butthurt about it.
Yeah.
And for a comedian, you know, I thought he would have a thicker skin. You know, I thought this was someone who could kind of like, he can dish it, obviously, but I guess he can't take it. And so, you know, he wrote a response and blocked me from commenting on it.
And didn't let you post the link. We'll talk about that when we come back. Yeah. And he called you a leftist, and you're not. He lied.
Ew.
He lied.
So gross.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow.
Yep. Meow. So this episode is called Chris Cantwell's Lies, Straw Men, and Sock Puppets. And I know that there are people listening on the radio who are like, I don't know who these people are. Why should I care? We're going to try to make this interesting enough that, like, in the same way that if I heard a radio show where there were like stamp collectors or Ferrari mechanics talking about some guy in their little pool that they didn't like, I'd have to find it interesting, even though I don't know anything about stamp collecting or Ferrari maintenance. Yeah. So, I also want to point out we're not using Fiend Phone tonight. We're still working out the bugs on you doing a three-way Fiend Phone call. So we may in the second hour go to Fiend Phone if MK goes to sleep, because she has to get up in the morning, because unlike some libertarian people, she actually has a day job. And, You know, but this, I don't know, we might angry up her blood and really get her going to where she wants to do 2 hours. But we're not going to do 2 hours of Cantwell. We're going to be done with Cantwell. Mm-hmm. Maybe. He basically called you. He did a counter to your article. You did an article criticizing him and a few other libertarian notables. I don't really consider him a notable. And that's not just parroting what he does. He loves to say he's really popular and no one else is. Like, he's done it to you, MK, and to me. He went on the Free Talk Live one time. Called into Free Talk Live one time and was like, and this Michael Dean, these freedom fiends, like, yeah, they're on one little bird crap station. No one's ever heard them. And Ian's like, now, Chris, you know, they're on 34 stations. And I've told you this and corrected you before. And then when he called in the other night to complain about MK, he said, yeah, and nobody's heard of this lady and or woman. And Ian's like, well, you know,
except for all of the people that voted for MK in the Porkfest spoken word competition that he took second place in.
Yeah, she's kind of well known. She's kind of well known, but she.
Thanks, Davi. I didn't want to bring that up.
But. Well, MK, it's better if other people say about you, but there's something all the freedom fiends have in common is like, we're a bunch of us are kind of people kind of know who we are, but we're not people who seek the spotlight. Like, I'm barely on Facebook. I barely do blog posts. I don't promote them at all. Same with MK, same with Davi. We just do our thing. Whereas Chris Cantwell, like, sits in front of his computer hitting refresh on his hit stats for his webpage, going, people like me, right? People like me. Yeah. Sad.
Well, so this is like less about Cantwell and more just about, so the article I wrote that was criticizing him was called Libertarian Welfare Queens. And it was about this notion that there's some libertarian activists or people who are, I guess a lot of people look up to them in the liberty movement, whatever you want to call it. But they're not the greatest people. They're not putting these donations to really good use. At least it was an opinion piece. It was an op-ed that I just kind of blurted out. I was like frustrated with things and I just put it out there way less polished than anything else I've ever written.
You did it on your blog. What's your blog called?
It's called The Most Emo Thing Ever because
what's it called?
It's called Silent Ache at wordpress.com. Like, so, and this is why, let me explain.
It sounds like a 16-year-old goth girl's like, oh, I'm talking about my feels. Oh.
Well, yeah, and it does, but I was trying to spell out the word H because I have an H in my name. It's a silent H. My first name is Megan, and it's a silent H. So my email is silent MK silent H. It's a stupid joke, but yes, I was kind of trying to do that. And then like, it was, you know, I couldn't change it afterwards. And I was like, okay, well now that looks ridiculous, but whatever, I'm going to go with it. I haven't posted on this site in like since September.
Yeah.
So this is the first thing I've written in a while.
I've heard of you nonstop since before I met you. And I've never heard of this site before.
Well, yeah. I mean, I started writing more about Bitcoin. Most of my articles are about Bitcoin stuff, which I really wish would have gotten the traffic this would have gotten because
the good stuff never gets the traffic. The stuff that gets the traffic, and this is another thing, like,
this was lowbrow.
Your title was lowbrow, kind of link baity, so kind of incendiary, and Cantwell got upset about that. And Cantwell has written whole articles on how to do link bait. And one of the things he says, too, is never block anybody, which he doesn't live by.
And that's something I do live by. I kind of take it seriously because I don't think a disagreement is worth ending a friendship over. I don't think it's worth blocking someone over. So I approve all the comments for my blog. Negative or positive, you can read them right now. Well, there's a bunch
spam,
on there.
Except for straight up spam. But
But WordPress blocks that for you. Yeah. So he told me I couldn't post my comments basically linking to my article so I could say, hey, why don't you let your readers hear the other side of the story, because it was spam. And we had an email exchange, which, you know, I have screen caps for if you really want it, but it's boring. But so he was like, no, I'm not going to let you post that. And I was like, that's kind of ridiculous. But
yeah,
your private property, right?
Well, man? It was so he could do a straw man, because he called you a liberal and didn't let people go read or even know who you were. You know, yeah, that's a straw man. It's a straight up straw man. And it's a lie. And he uses sock puppets, I'm pretty sure.
I exaggerate, but I don't lie.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the statists win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience common blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Worms.
Meow.
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 Meow. Hey, this is Dobby Barker with the Freedom Fiends, here with Megan Kellison, and we're coming back from the break with All Can't Well All the Time, at least for the next, segment or two.
Use my government name.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
What should I have said? What did I say? Any resemblance to any real Megan, alive or dead, is purely coincidental?
Yes.
So we were talking about, it's funny, like, a lot of people's criticism of this article has been about the word welfare and what the word welfare means. And so the first thing I did was I went and Googled it because, you know, definitions matter. They're completely incorrect. So like the definition of welfare being like the government program that is like taken through taxes to cause sort of social whatever. It's not even the first definition. It's actually the second definition. And
it's like the government has co-opted it the same way that people think healthcare now means something with insurance.
Well, like even, well, I don't know. I don't care what the Constitution says, but the general welfare clause is not about government social programs. Like
it's about control, basically. It is kind of in a way because the general welfare clause is about the government being able to make decisions for the greater good.
Yeah, I guess all I'm saying is that the idea of welfare as sort of a general state of happiness or welfare as a general charitable giving is the first definition.
Yes.
It's not like some obscure sort of archaic use of the term.
This is what people have been saying to me is like, you can't use that term because it means coercion. So they're like, well, you know, welfare means government coercing people to give their money to people in need. But welfare also means charity. It also means voluntarily giving to other people too, for their general well-being, for their health, their comfort, security, things like that. So, well, it was tongue-in-cheek. I'll admit that. It was a bit tongue-in-cheek. It was meant to be kind of, you know, silly, but the actual definition of the word is just well-being. If you're living off of the donations of other people, you're living off of their welfare, and that's neither negative or positive unless you're misappropriating those funds. And that was the key point of the article was, is the money that you're donating to these activists and these causes being spent well? And it was just my opinion that these particular activists were not putting it to good use. And of course, it's just an opinion. It's this op-ed blog, but people kind of, you know, they did get a bit offended by it. And
nobody got upset about the use of the word queen, even though we haven't seen photos of any of these people in drag.
And they were all men. So that was kind of like the other joke of it, too. But like no one cared about that. But it was just kind of this silly thing. People wanted to fixate on the syntax. And I've noticed that with some libertarians, too. Kind of discussing things with them, they're very fixated on the denotative, or actually the connotative definition of a word. So connotatively, welfare means to people in this country, government subsidized, like food stamps, things like that. Welfare, generally speaking, though, denotatively and, you know, in other definitions, means just general well-being.
Okay, so let me interject.
I'm one of those people obsessed with definitions, but you know what? I can still tell when it's satire and give people creative license. Like,
well, that's it too, literary license. Like,
this is a really small issue. Let's go on to the bigger issue here. Cantwell's lies, sock puppets, and straw men.
I stayed out of the fray, so I don't know what the story is here.
Okay, he called, in this article, he called MK. He didn't name her by name. He didn't link the article. He didn't, there was no way for people to check his facts And he said that she, you know, this liberal feminist coming after me and attacking me. Okay. Are you a liberal?
Heck no.
Okay.
I'm not a feminist or a liberal.
Yeah. So that is the classic. Now, it's not only lying, it's using a straw man. Now, straw man.
In all fairness, can we call it a straw person? I mean, come on, guys.
It's pretty sexist.
PC.
Pretty sexist.
The PC police just corrected me. Okay, so a straw person. You know, basically, a straw man comes from it's where you, in an argument, you substitute the other person's argument with something else that's heinous and then attack the heinous thing. And then people look at it from the outside and say, oh, that person's heinous and this person won the argument. So
this is like a straw man ad hominem combo, because it's not that he's misrepresenting her argument. He's misrepresenting her and then attacking that person. Like,
and to be fair,
all liberals are wrong, therefore you're wrong.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's not really to be fair, but to point out, MK was a leftist many, many years ago, but before Cantwell had any inkling of who she was. And, you know, Cantwell was a cocaine snorting Republican voting for George Bush back then. So, you know, if we're going by that rule, we could say Cantwell is a cocaine snorting George Bush licker.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I'm all about like redemption. Supposedly he was an alcoholic in the past, whatever.
He still
like,
is. You know, he still is.
Okay. See, I don't know that. Well, I didn't make that claim in the article. I exaggerated some things. I put in some insults, but an insult is different from an ad hominem attack. An ad hominem is basically saying because a person is this way, it means their argument is incorrect. I didn't really attack many of his arguments. It was just straight up insult. So I'll admit to that. I'll totally cop to that.
But he can't take it. He can dish it out, but can't take it.
Well, he's a comedian, you know. He's said worse things
he's
about better
funny.
People.
He's not
well,
funny.
Yeah, well, that
comedian
was...
Comedian in name only?
he's a kino. A comedian in name only, yeah.
Well, see, I address that. You know, this is a comedian who I thought could ditch it, but obviously can't take it. And this is something that I thought he'd have a thicker skin about. He said worse things about better people, by the way.
He's also,
and
like,
he's
walked
said some
up
pretty
to...
hyperbolic things. And for someone who uses hyperbole so often, it's kind of surprisingly doesn't actually get it when I use it.
He's also walked up to women drunk while he's drunk, hit on them, and when they're like, get lost, he, you know, calls them horrible names that I can't say on radio. I mean, here's the thing. Libertarians get away with a lot because of the non-aggression principle. That stuff, like, okay, if a biker did that, he would get,
oh yes,
you know, the crap beat out of him or get stabbed. If a whole
bunch. Can I
just
say I was raised by a biker? And yeah, that's actually true. Like, yeah, you really don't get away. This non-aggression principle thing, I agree with it on a lot of levels. But like, let's be real and say you can't say certain things without expecting physical consequences.
And especially when Cantwell,
in the real world,
when Cantwell stretches the NAP to the extension of like saying that you can, you know, proactively shoot law enforcement that you don't know, collectivizing all of them, which is ridiculous. You know, so he's no stranger to stretching the boundaries of the non-aggression principle to the snapping point, but he gets away with not living under it because he's in a community where people don't, you know, put your face to the ground and stomp your teeth out in the curb when you walk up to their girlfriend and call her a whore for not sleeping with you.
This is true. And it's something that, you know, I think in some ways I like peace. I like harmony. I like people not hitting other people when they say things that are offensive, but you don't get to escape the consequences of your words. And I'm even learning this with this very, very insignificant blog post that I made. You know, people are very upset about it and people are angry. And you know, words have meaning. They definitely have meaning. And if you're going to fling them around aimlessly and even harmfully, then you don't get to escape those consequences. And if you, I don't really want to give his site traffic, but he's said a lot of pretty inflammatory things. He's one of those people he's one of those libertarians who will say phrases like taxation is rape. And like try to justify that as a good analogy, which it's really not. Like, this is actually stuff that you said, like, oh, taxation is rape. And if you disagree with that, then you're just a statist. And I've been called a bootlicker and a communist this whole time by his followers.
His,
and even,
his,
you know,
his
even by
sock
him,
puppets,
basically.
By his sock puppets.
Or his sock puppets, you know.
Yeah. And if you want,
there's a ratio there.
Here's my evidence that he's using sock puppets. If you look at his website, I'll give it out, chriscantwell.com. I'll give him some traffic. I'll give him, you know, 8 hits so he can buy another cigarette or something, or a sip of beer. But
he's desperately in need of money,
apparently. He says that at the end of every check. I'm not. None of the fiends are. All the fiends have jobs, man. I liked one of the comments on his response to your article. Was somebody said that back in the 70s, there was a running joke in the Libertarian Party that all the libertarians were trying to make money selling their newsletters to each other. Yes. And I kind of feel like that's the economy that's happened on the internet now, is like everybody can do a blog, but everybody's doing podcasts. It's so oversaturated. You know, I mean, we were doing it earlier than most people as a podcast, doing this for almost 4 years now and been on radio for a year and a half. But we're different too. We're not all just complaining about the government all the time and trying to angry up the blood. We have a niche that other people, nobody else is really filling. And my evidence for the idea that he's using sock puppets is based on reading the discuss.com accounts of a bunch of the people that post over and over on his site that only ever post on his site. They look like sock puppets. They don't have any links on them, any avatar, no information. Generally, we're started around the time Chris Cantwell's blog started. And all they ever do is post about how great Chris Cantwell is. I think those are sock puppets. I was in the process of trying to prove it, and he blocked me from being able to comment or access his site and his Facebook page. I'm completely can't go on his Facebook page. But
well, I mean, like, I make a physical product and I, yes, you know, sell to the Liberty community, and I still like eke out a meager living.
And
like,
you sell outside of the Liberty community too.
Well, this is my point, is like the Liberty community is saturated with stuff being sold to itself. Like,
that's why,
I have to,
that's
branch
why we're
out
making
of the Liberty. I have to sell my black and red communist pen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and like, I make the argument in the article that you can be even a full-time activist and make a living. You know, you can be a part-time activist and make a living. You can still sell things. If you're producing good content and you're producing things worthwhile, you can make a living doing that. And you don't even need to have like a regular 9-to-5 job like I have to do that. So if you want to do something, then produce something useful. I just don't think what these people are producing is useful.
Fiend Phone is going to be incredibly useful outside of Liberty too. And we're asking for donations to help with it, but we didn't come anywhere near the 20 grand we were trying to get. We got 1200, and Derek's working his butt off basically for free, and I'm working basically for free too, so we can make something better than Skype that helps people talk to each other. Like, in the grand scheme of things, Fiend Phone is more important than like 100 Chris Cantwell's blogging and screeching on the internet. It really is.
Well, and the best activists I know, the ones who are doing the most work, they're not making a whole lot of money doing it anyway. They're doing it because they love to do it, because it's something that gives them personal fulfillment.
I kind of feel like Chris Cantwell has Marx's labor theory of value in his head. Like, he really feels like he spends all this time writing these feisty, screechy posts and making these videos, shooting guns at things and waving them at his friends and his hips in downtown Keene. And he feels like he's owed for that labor. He really has a vibe of that.
Oh, he's a total libertarian welfare queen. Well, that's the thing. It's the entitlement mentality.
We'll be back with All Cantwell All the Time on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Founding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Meow. Freedom Fiends. And I just got an email from Randy England, one of our co-hosts who's listening, and said, I'm enjoying the show. Doing Cantwell is fun, but it's hard to insult a self-described a-hole. Try harder. For those who don't know, Chris Cantwell, like, his tagline on his website is Chris Cantwell, atheist, anarchist a-hole, and I'm saying the radio-friendly version of a-hole. And think about that, like a guy who basically his business card to the world calls him a creep, gets upset when someone calls him a creep.
He got really butthurt about some of the things. Oh,
his call to Free Talk Live was priceless, man. He was all, and furthermore, and
was he like screaming into a pillow right before he went on air? Like,
I think he was crying with his sock puppets and making them kiss each other. That's an awesome meme, Davi. I'm going to use that for the show tonight. Okay,
but here's what I do want to say. Okay, go ahead.
I want to address something really important. Chris Cantwell loves to say, and this happens with Molyneux fans too, and Chris Cantwell's a huge fan of Molyneux, and I gotta say that him like blocking you but then criticizing you kind of reminds me of Molyneux and Mike DeMarco saying that that True Shibes was doxing people when she wasn't, you know, like, and that involved government guns and this doesn't. But, and you know, his blog is his private property and YouTube's, you know, like somebody else's property.
It's like nice of you to cover up all the evidence now that you're making claims about people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so that's kind of the thing. He wouldn't allow me to put my link out there. He called it spam, which, you know, I have a definition of spam, but I don't like to argue semantics about things. So, yeah, he didn't want his readers to read the other side and view his criticisms in context, which I thought was kind of interesting, but not necessarily surprising. What's kind of strange to me is how angry and kind of whipped up people are getting about this, because I think it's something that was fairly obvious to a lot of people who've been involved in libertarianism for a long time, that there are certain leeches around, but also
they're also stingy. They're also stingy, man. They can dish it out, but can't take it. But they're also still like, you know, there's this common misperception that libertarians are stingy, but it's kind of reinforced when they're like, they won't even share a link back of someone they're criticizing. Like, all the links and all the Alexas must be mine.
But I don't even care about that. You know, it's his private side. If he wants to do that, he can. It's kind of cowardly and, you know, it's kind of a pathetic move. But, I get it. It's his site. You have the right to say what you want. But if you can't address criticism, and if you think that criticism is something that harms you or that even hurts like an overarching movement, then that movement isn't worthy. It's not really worth being a part of to begin with. This is something that's, I think, is pretty obvious to people.
I'm not part of the movement.
Hey, if liberty hinges on people liking Chris Cantwell, we're doomed.
Exactly. Like, it's just very bizarre that a grown man is getting so obviously butthurt over something that's kind of silly.
I want to make a really bad analogy. The Freedom Fiends, like, we're not really part of the libertarian movement, but occasionally we will step up and criticize things that are worth criticizing. And Cantwell likes to say that the only reason people criticize him are to try to get attention. That's absolutely not true. And I hear the same thing from the Molyneux camp, but I'll make a really bad analogy. The libertarian community is Israel and the Freedom Fiends are Palestine, and we pretty much ignore them, but occasionally lob a homemade rocket of truth into their camp. Too soon, Davi.
I was just trying to get libertarians to leave me alone.
Didn't work.
The hyperbole has flown over my head. I'm lost on this metaphor.
Yeah. Hey, Megan, am I a bad influence on you?
No.
Because about
like this is stuff.
When you first got on the show, I was trying to get you to publicly help me condemn some of these people. Rightfully, with explanation, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to do that. And then like we stopped doing that like a month ago, and all of a sudden you wrote this feisty article that went viral that also like had some fiendisms in it. Like you said, OG libertarians. Yeah. That's my line. You said a couple other things that the fiends made up.
I was an OG libertarians for a while, but like,
oh, I made it up. I built that.
I don't know about that.
Five years ago, man. I'm gonna write an angry blog post proving why you didn't make it up.
Ooh, edgy.
Hedgy. All right, we'll be back. Hedging our hedgehog bets in our hedge fund. Oh, Cantwell, not Cantwell. Kokesh's dad owns a hedge fund and is worth $45 million. We'll talk about that when we get back. You sticking around for the second hour, MK?
I guess I can.
We angried up your blood.
I think you angered me up.
We happied up your blood. All right, we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends for hour two.
Worms.
Worms. Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at TrueShibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. TrueShibes.com. Freedom Fiends. We're just sitting around in the hot tub. You know, it's too late to change Chris Cantwell by voting and too early to shoot the bastard. Davi came up with that and he's laughing at it. That's how funny it is. So
I didn't realize that was appropriate for being on the air.
It is in the second hour in the middle of the night, I think. So you can say that word once a year. So MK, tell us the time that MK that Cantwell was butt hurt and didn't shake your hand.
Okay, so I mean, I really didn't want to bring this up. I didn't even link to it or whatever. But
it's petty.
It really is, though. Like, so, okay, so there's this Porkfest Idol contest, the Porkfest before last, where everyone gets up and does a rant. And we all did these rants, and I was in the finalists with Chris, and we had to do 1 minute rant off, and I ended up winning the contest when he thought that he was going to win. Like, he did a good rant, like, and it got way more views than I did on his
YouTube. I thought he was going to win.
I didn't know you very well.
I met you that night, and I thought he was going to win until you went up.
Yeah, well, I was the last one up, and I thought he was going to win, right? So I think he thought he was going to win. And so, like, after the contest, like, I went to shake his hand, and, like, he just kind of turned away from me and, like, wouldn't acknowledge that I was
like
there.
Like in Zoolander, where Zoolander, what is it?
Well, okay, if anyone's familiar with the movie Zoolander, so... It's these male models. They're in this contest to win this award. And Derek Zoolander thinks he's going to win because he's like the OG, like, hey, you know, I'm the male model guy. And he loses, but he thinks he wins and like goes
starts
up.
Starts giving a speech.
He starts giving a speech thinking he won. So it's kind of like Derek Zoolander going up and not realizing he's lost.
You know, Larkin Rose would not shake my hand when I met him. He said, I said, hey, I'm Michael Dean, and put my hand out to shake his hand. He said, yeah, I know who you are, and looked like at a 45-degree angle from me. And there was no one else around us. It wasn't like he was busy talking to people.
Well, it was weird. You know, I was like really, I mean, I'm still obscure. Like, who am I? Like, everyone's like, who is this person criticizing these people? Like, I'm really a nobody. Like, I'm some random person on the internet, you know? So... It was kind of weird, but I like brushed it off because like I don't get butthurt about that stuff.
You're not
I was like,
a
okay,
random
whatever,
person on the internet.
You know?
People know who you are. You're bigger than you'll admit you are. But this show is actually, we need to change the topic because this is actually, I realize what this is sounding like to the radio audience. The internet libertarian audience is like, you know, either cheering us on or screeching at their internets right now or when they hear it later. But the people listening on the radio right now in their hometowns in the middle of the night who just finished listening to Hannity and then the Fiends come on, this is going to sound to them like, okay, when you're in grade school and the principal gets up and gives the announcements and you're like, you know, I had these fantasies because I always wanted to be a broadcaster when I was a kid and give my opinion and not have to hear back from people. So I used to have these fantasies of like, what if everybody could go in there and tie up the principal and we could do our own show? But the show we would have done would have been gossip about the kids in our class. And that's kind of what this is.
And yeah, and I, you know, I don't... Yeah, I mean, this blog post was really not my best writing. It was something that I just put out there. I didn't expect it to even... really cause as much ruckus as it
so
did.
So I think the takeaway for people who don't know or care who Chris Cantwell is, which is 99.99999% of the world.
Yes.
Which is the thing. Like, people are in this little libertarian pool and we're not really in it. Like I said, we're on the other side of the wall throwing rocks over it sometimes, but observing it through a powerful telescope. But I think the takeaway is In whether it's, you know, national, like worldwide famous people or politics or music or whatever, or stamp collecting or, you know, fixing imported cars, whatever your little field is, the poop rises to the top and the cream doesn't. You know, the loudest and stupidest, not necessarily stupid. Chris Cantwell's not stupid. He can put a sentence together. He can write a blog post that does not have typos. But I also have a theory that he may be a government plant and that there's a team writing that stuff, because his blog posts sometimes sound intelligent and his comments sound like a retarded 9-year-old. Seriously.
Well, so I don't think he's a cop. I will say that. I don't think he's a cop. I think that
if Chris Cantwell didn't exist,
the government would have to create him.
There you go. There
so,
you, go.
You know, no, I think he's, you know, I think he's a real crazy person. Yeah. Like, so Davi,
but you know, and crazy looks interesting to people who have ordinary lives. So
Davi, and I'm a little crazy too. So
Davi Barker is the author of the article, "When Is It Time to Shoot Chris Cantwell?" Do you want to wrap this up here, Davi Barker?
With that article?
I don't know.
That's a whole nother beef. I mean, that was about Porkfest and him. You know what's funny about that is all the people who objected to that article, he later admitted to everything that I suggested that he did in that article.
Yeah. Yeah.
And essentially it was, he was banned from Porkfest, and then either he or activists working at his behest put posters and started rumors that he was planning to speak at Porkfest and that he was going to be on site, which sent the organizers into Tussie because they didn't want him there because
basically
of drunk driving and other dangerous things he does.
He doesn't like, he needs attention like a small screechy child, and it doesn't matter if it's good attention or bad attention. And he thinks that attention equals goodness. Like he basically slams people and says, you know, you're not as popular as me. When also he's kind of ignoring the fact that, like, for instance, we're on radio and actually are more popular than him. We just don't get all the comments because we don't like groom the internet the way he does, because we realize it's chalk on the sidewalk and it's not lasting like a well-produced podcast that is, saved by fans on torrenting. So basically we could all get droned and it would go on. But you know, he loves to say like, well, I'm popular and you guys are nobodies. But if that is the metric, then Barack Obama is far better of a human being than Chris Cantwell. And Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh are far better media content producers than Chris Cantwell because they're far more popular.
Not to mention, it's a poorer allocation of his time to spend all of this time refuting people that don't even matter.
Yeah, there you go. That's the thing. If we didn't matter, he wouldn't have to call in and go blah, 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 when we point out correctly that he's wrong about almost everything.
Worms.
So, Davi, tell me about the hot tub theory. You have a theory that we're all sitting around in a hot tub. And that's why we're different than other shows.
This comes from, if you go back and you listen to my very first interview with the Fiends, it was terrible. And it was probably one of the worst pieces of radio I'd ever done. It was my second radio interview ever. And I was just kind of uptight and non-communicative and difficult. And since then, I've relaxed and sort of settled into a nice comfy spot here on the Fiend couch. And the reason is because I think of it like hanging out with people in a hot tub. It's like I'm kicking back, I'm loosened up, I'm like, we're just, you know, chatting about the events of the day like friends do. And as a result, I sometimes forget that there's an audience.
Yeah,
and me too. like say things maybe I shouldn't all the time.
It's okay. It's part of the vibe. You know, I saw this independent film in Park City. I was at the Sundance Film Festival in like 2000 or 2001. It was not in the film festival. It was in one of those kind of like glom onto the coattails film festivals that they have in town at the same time. And it was a really cool film called Hot Tub, Valiums, and Pork Ribs. And it was about a failed .com, and it was a comedy.
That sounds like you might drown to death.
And it was a comedy, but I really liked the analogy. And they actually, at some point in there, it's kind of like, you know, these poor internet programmer people, like all of a sudden have way more money than they could ever imagine. And they're doing things like they have a hot tub installed in the office and they sit around in it taking Valium and eating pork rinds. And it just sounds really relaxed though. Doesn't it sound relaxing?
It does, but I'm kind of serious. Like,
you'd have to have a designated.
This person's just gonna just slip beneath the surface of the water.
I think you'd need a designated person who's not taking the Valium and pork ribs.
Dude, Valium and hot tubs are a dangerous combination. You got to be careful. You got
That might have been.
You could choke on the pork on the pork. That might have been. It could be bad.
It might have been an analogy for the failure of the .com because it did kind of slip into the hot tub and drown. So let's move along from people who are inconsequential and think they're the center of the universe. I got to say, Chris Cantwell reminds me of that kid in your class in fourth grade that was maybe a little smarter than the other kids, but not really that smart, but mainly just threw tantrums if he didn't get attention. Have you ever known any kids like that in your life?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of every class clown that there is to some extent.
Oh, and the guy lived with his mother till he was 33. And you said something in your post about, like, well, for someone who lived with his mother until recently, and people thought, like, that's a cliche on the internet. Like, when people disagree with you in an argument, people will lob that thing at them of saying, oh, well, you're probably just posting from your mother's paneled rec room or basement, you know. But it was true. In the case of Chris Cantwell, he lived with his mother until he was 32 or something.
And, you know, nothing wrong with that if you've gone through a divorce or, you know, whatever. But if you're in your mid-30s and you haven't gotten your stuff together yet, you know, come on. What I said was he calls himself a comedian, but I'm pretty sure living in your mother's basement well into your 30s is only funny as a libertarian stereotype, not a reality.
Yeah, and he kind of...
But it's true, you know?
He kind of poises himself as someone who should be a leader in the libertarian community, but... Do you really want to look up to a guy who couldn't support himself until he was 32 and seems to be able to not support himself now if every post ends with, I'm in desperate need of money, please send me money, and, you know, is not a good gun safety guy? Like, he's not the guy to lead the revolution. He'd get everyone shot. He would shoot you by accident. You know, without the government, who would point guns at your head? Chris Cantwell.
I don't know. Maybe living in his mother's basement is the most economical thing to do.
Which again, you know, I'm okay with.
It's
but,
back to stingy libertarians, right?
I don't know, man. I moved out when I was 18 years old and like 4 months and have not looked back. And
I
made it to 18. I didn't make it to 18.
Like, my parents,
yeah, neither did I.
My parents were not abusive. It wasn't like, I've got to get out of here. It was like, I've got to go out and make my own way in the world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did kind of say if you're not out by the time you're 18, like.
Oh, no. For me, it was you'll be home by midnight or you're not coming back.
Yeah, I didn't. Like, okay. It was square, man. I wanted some liberty. All right. So I have some I was wrongs moving on. We keep trying to move along. Just when you thought you're away from Chris Cantwell, he sucks you back under the hot tub.
He has his own gravitational field.
He's the drain at the bottom of the hot tub sucking.
Stay away from that hot tub. Stay far away.
Yeah, well, you know, according to the law of physics about displacement, when he gets in the hot tub, it's half empty. Or is it half full if you're an optimist?
It's lukewarm where I'm at.
We'll be back. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiend. No Cantwell, none of the time. I'm going to try for that. I'll be back.
Chris Cantwell, who's that?
I don't know.
Did you guys see this article about Breaking Bad being raised, blamed for the rise in meth?
I read that headline. I didn't read that article because it struck me as silly.
It is silly. Let's make fun of it.
Oh, I responded to you. Didn't I said something like, and Marilyn Manson is responsible for Columbine or something like that?
Oh,
or no,
yeah.
I said Kurt Cobain is responsible for the rise in military suicides.
Too soon. All right, I'm sending this to you. I have a couple other things to say before we get to this, but...
Here, I'll be right back, too. Sit over a second.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
I was wrong. That's a new segment we do where we admit if we were wrong on a previous show. And we want to spread this as a thing. We think people should do this. Cantwell never admits he's wrong. The only time I've ever heard him admit he was wrong was when he called into Free Talk Live screeching about MK. Just not screeching, but just like he was really upset. Like, how dare someone call me an a-hole when my tagline says I'm an a-hole, basically. But he, you know,
he was kind of asking for it, right?
He was asking for it the way he was dressed. So I think, but
goodness gracious.
but yeah, he, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, you know, I called to kind of clarify some stuff and he called afterwards. I wish we could have been on air at the same time because I've been trying to talk
horrible.
To him.
You should have.
And
you
he's kind of blocking me. But
yeah, he did. Yeah. Although he would do it on there because it would get him attention. He doesn't want to. He's afraid to deal with you in person one-on-one, but he would love to do it on there for the attention.
I'm just a little lady. But,
just a little lady. Yeah, he would just wave his guns around and wave it past his foot and then call you a whore and walk away and he won.
I think we need to come up with labels. We'll have petite libertarian and obese libertarian.
Really? You're going to make fat jokes? I guess I made one. I'm kind of plump. I can make fat jokes. But he said that he was wrong. He said he wished he'd never posted the response to you, which I've never heard him say he was wrong. But he said it, and then he amplified it by calling into Free Talk Live and mentioning it.
I'm an obese libertarian.
Technically, I am too. But obese is pretty far under what you think of as obese, I think. The medical definition. Yeah, I'm obese, but Cantwell's bigger than me, but that doesn't matter.
I didn't even go there. I was nice in my article, I think.
You were nice.
But I feel I was wrong.
Nice. I really, you know, this is the hot tub effect. I really shouldn't be, what is that called? Playing blue or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Performing blue. Like when comics.
Performing blue.
Yeah. Like
I should be better than this.
Yeah. Comics who cuss. Yeah. You should not be don't get down into his meth gutter. I'm not saying he does meth. You just sent me a funny picture about meth, and we're about to talk about meth. But I have some I was wrongs. Okay. The unicorn is the national animal of Scotland. And the guy from Scotland I interviewed didn't know that and said it wasn't. But he was wrong. Dan was wrong. Okay. Secondly, I said something about the GPL license versus the GNU license versus the GNU GPL license versus something else. I was wrong. There's no version 4 of the GPL. There's a version 3. And I was wrong about the differences between the two. And the differences between the two are that number 3 does not allow things that are licensed with the GPL 3 license to be run on closed source hardware that does not allow you to run altered versions of it. Basically, it's the TiVo rule, because TiVo used some GPL licensed free software on the TiVo, but then made it against the user rules of TiVo to alter the software and put it on yourself. So, yeah, but we're just debating now whether to use the GPL rule, I mean, the GPL license, or this other thing called the three clause BSD license. So people have no idea what we're talking about before, really have no idea what we're talking about now, but people who do have an idea about open source software licenses and free software licenses, which are two slightly different things, will understand. And I made that mistake and I was wrong.
There you go. So I want to say I was wrong too. I went back and listened to our zombie trilogy episode last week, I think.
Yeah.
And I realized that I got Glenn Mazzara and Greg Nicotero mixed up. I said that Greg Nicotero was the showrunner when in fact he is the makeup artist.
Oh, good. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for sharing. And I have another I was wrong. This one's pretty funny. On the show that you and I were on recently, Davi, where it was the first ever use of FiendPhone. And we're not using FiendPhone tonight. We're using Skype because, like I said, we still have things to work out with doing a three-way hot tub event on FiendPhone. So we're using Skype. But I was talking about Ian Freeman, and I said, I was praising Ian Freeman, and I said, Ian Freeman helps Liberty at every turn. Liberty wilts whenever Ian Freeman enters the room. What I meant to say was tyranny wilts whenever Ian Freeman enters the room, but I said Liberty wilts whenever Ian Freeman walks into the room. And I wrote to Ian and said that I would correct it, and he's like, whatever, LOL. He doesn't care. I like that about him.
I like Ian.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I posted this thing on Saturday night. It said, those who change the world are not out partying on Saturday night. those who changed the world were in front of their computer on Saturday night, and it got like 40 shares from people I don't know. I guess people who are losers in front of their computer on a Saturday night who finally have a motto.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends, I'm Michael Fiendman, and I'm talking to MK Fiendman and Davi Fiendman. So there's this thing in Liberty of changing your last name to Freedom, to Freeman on the internets. And it's also, it kind of crosses over between libertarianism, voluntarism, and also like sovereign citizen kind of like constitutionalists.
Well, it comes from slavery. You know that, right?
Yeah. Like when that was a common name of freed slaves that they took themselves.
So that's sort of the implication. Like that's intentional, that the people who at least first started doing this were sort of saying like, you're all slaves and I'm a freed man.
Yeah. I think that people, it's kind of played out and it's ambiguous because it's used by the sovereign citizens and the libertarians. I think people should start changing their last name to Fiendmen, like Freedom Fiends. Now, I got a comment.
I think we should abolish last names. It would make us harder to track.
Well, you know, I liked in the 60s, this started. A lot of the stuff that's common now with libertarians started in this post-civil rights movement, kind of black power movement. Like the first place I ever heard someone call being arrested and put in a jail cell, being kidnapped and put in a cage, was in the black power movement and in the like Abby Hoffman radical communist, you know, steal this book, overthrow the government kind of talk. It's not new. And another thing is, and there's one from back then that I think should catch on was there was like a black power thing of calling your last name your government name. Cause like, remember everybody in Move changed their last name to Africa. And a lot of people just didn't want to use, and I guess a lot of people in the Nation of Islam did too, change their last name to what?
Well, that's what Malcolm X was. Yeah.
He was Xing out his government name, right?
Right. Cause it was originally Malcolm Little.
Yeah. And, you know, Charles Manson carving an X in his head said he was Xing himself out of society. And those are, none of those are role models for me.
Or X-Men, the comic books. They're mutants because they're X-Men. Get it?
Former men. Yeah. Well, I guess none of those are people to look up to, except maybe Malcolm X. But
the X-Men are pretty cool.
Well, yeah. But that was added. You added that after I started to say none of those are good role models. And Abby Hoffman, I read his book, Steal This Book, when I was 12, and it kind of warped my mind. And but he was a communist, and he was in favor of shooting cops at random, you know, like as if Chris Cantwell thinks that's a new thing. And I'm not down with it, and it didn't work out well for them. And I'm not a communist, and I don't think people should shoot cops. You know, I don't know, unless it's in self-defense, but that's a whole nother discussion and or argument. And it probably won't end well for you if you do. So it's probably a matter of choice of throw up your hands and say, don't shoot. And, you know, rather than dying or ending up in prison for the rest of your life. So
we need new last names.
No, I'm saying that people should call their last name their government name.
I think we should go back to last names being our trades.
So I'd be Talker, Michael Talker.
Michael Talker or Michael Fiend is fine.
Michael Weber. Yeah.
Michael Weber, Wobby Weber, everyone,
every blogger, every feisty internet blogger should change their last name to Weber.
Blogger. Why isn't Blogger a surname?
Blogger, Davi Blogger.
Yeah, well, I think I would be Davi Badges personally.
Yeah, Davi Badger. So I got this comment on the Guns and Weed movie on. You know, the movie that Nima Vadadi and I made. I got this comment on YouTube, very favorable comment saying everyone should share this. And it was signed by a guy whose name on Google Plus is Edward Fiendman. And I commented to him, is that your real last name or is that, you know, an adopted name because you like the Freedom Fiends? And MK, you want to read what the, you can do a dramatic reading if you want of his reply.
All right, this is a dramatic reading of Eric Fiendman's reply.
Edward Fiendman.
Edward, oh my goodness, Edward Fiendman. Yes, that whole Freeman thing is well played, but I don't think it really represents the way people should think about liberty. If I say I'm Edward Freeman, it says I'm free, F you. But Fiendman says I want liberty for me as well as you. Fiend it with me.
Yeah.
I love the Fiends. Buford and Stone are OG libertarian. Derek J and the Yak are hope for the future. St. Pierre and Lou are cool as S, insightful and consistent in their ideas of liberty. I would go insane in here in communist California if it wasn't for the Fiends. Thank you for doing the good work. I try and share it. By the way, Walking Dead is cool, but it doesn't have S on Star Spartacus. Sometimes it's nice to see the slaves fight back. It's all on popcorn time because IP is for obedient servants. Might as well enjoy it before the socialists kill the interwebs because of the boo-boo Sony hack. Thank you, Eric Fiendman. Edward Fiendman.
Awesome comment, man. That is... That's so much cooler than a lot of comments. Like a lot of comments are like, hey, you guys are really cool, man. Thanks.
But it was poetry. It was YouTube poetry. Like it doesn't get better than that. Like,
I think you could be the white girl at the all black poetry slam and get up and do it like that and get applause.
I used to go to poetry slams. Actually.
Used to be the white girl at the all black poetry slam. That's why I said it back when you were a leftist.
What's the show he's recommending?
Spartacus. I've only heard about it, and I think it is about slaves who revolt. I think it's a new TV show.
Okay, cool.
Have to check it out.
Yep. Yeah, sounds worth checking out, man. So I want to read a little bit about this article about meth. And I really like the picture Davi sent me. It's a before and after picture of meth, and the before is R2-D2, or is it CP3-O? Which one looks
like... No, it's R2-D2.
And then the after is a trash can.
Yes.
Because not even once.
You know, I was... Right. Neiman Vadadi and I did a whole episode one time condemning the Montana Meth Project. Do you guys know about the Montana Meth Project?
No.
You've probably seen their work. I don't know if it's just in the Mountain West, but it's this kind of... combination of privately funded and government funded educational organization that's supposed to scare people away from doing meth. And the first TV commercial they had made was directed by the guy who directed Requiem for a Dream. What's his name? I interviewed him in a movie I did. I can't remember his name, but, so the first commercial they had looks like Requiem for a Dream. And then they had him do the first commercial. Then they copied his look for all the commercials and the billboards. So the billboards are all like really dark, scary renderings of like really good looking, kind of scared looking teenagers, like really messed up from meth. And some of them are like softcore kiddie porn. I mean, there's literally a TV ad that plays in Wyoming and Montana and Utah, 30 seconds long. It's like a 16-year-old girl and her 12-year-old sister probably at a truck stop. And she's talking to these two like redneck truckers or something, or, you know, and the girl, like the older girl has like meth sores on her face, the 16-year-old. And she's basically saying to the two truckers, I'll do anything for some meth. And they say anything. And they look at the younger sister, and the older sister kind of pushes the younger sister towards them, like by the bathroom at the truck stop.
Weird.
That is creepy.
Wow.
And this is on TV, and there's like billboards of this too. Like there's a billboard of like a teenage boy beating up his grandmother, black and blue. And it says like, people don't normally beat up their grandmother, but on meth they do. And it's kind of like some of it's exaggerations and some of it is stuff that's only based on the fact that meth is illegal. Like literally, if it were legal, those things wouldn't happen.
And no, so you'd have to be wearing a police badge to beat up grandmothers. Yeah.
There's an article, I think, out there. I think it's by, is it Mark Victor, called Legalized Methamphetamines or something? It's like, when are we going to legalize methamphetamines? It's an older article, but yeah, it makes the argument for drug prohibition, yeah, but it takes an extreme kind of stance.
Well,
with it,
in Colorado,
it's good arguments.
In Colorado, what part of how they passed legalizing marijuana was by saying, and they've done this with it, they said, we'll legalize marijuana, we'll regulate it and tax it, and spend the tax on more police to go after hard drug users.
Right. Well, see, this is going back to, you know, these unintended consequences of legalization. You know, what are you kind of conceding with these in some of this legislation? You know, are they going to pass laws? Are they going to put more money to tracking down other specific kinds of drugs? You know, if your state has a problem with prescription drugs like Florida does, are you going to put more money towards tracking down people, you know, using prescription drugs in Florida?
I would say that a pot user going along with that is almost racist if you substituted like drug use for race, because there is there is scientific evidence that points to the possibility that people's drug of choice and whether or not they are attracted to drugs is based on chemical imbalances in the brain that like are far beyond understanding and can't really be treated with medicine yet.
Okay.
And like, you know, like I never liked, when I've been sober for 20 years, but when I did drugs, like I never really liked psychedelics and I never really liked stimulants. I liked things that turned down the volume. I liked alcohol, heroin, you know, not barbiturates so much, but I liked alcohol and any opiates because I like, basically because my brain is so like a freight train, 120 miles an hour all the time, that it feels better sometimes when I can turn it off or turn it down. So I never liked drugs that expanded my consciousness. It was already too expanded. And I never,
that was the opposite.
And I never liked drugs. I never liked drugs that, that, you know, amped me up. I like drugs that turned down the volume. And so if the evidence turns out to be true that your predestination to a certain drug is innate and unchangeable, you know, basically, it's like racism for a pothead.
It's marijuana chauvinism.
It is. You're like saying, oh, well, my drug is okay by society, so I'm fine with it being used to throw other drug users in prison.
I mean, that makes them no better than the drunks they've been criticizing all along, right?
Yes.
Well, right.
Expand on that, Davi.
Well, I mean, like, the marijuana sort of legalization activists have been criticizing drunks in society, arguing that alcohol was a more dangerous drug and it was only perceived as okay because it was legal and it was the drug that mainstream society viewed as okay, but that their drug was actually better. And there's even sort of this
and now,
this attitude among some pot smokers that, like, if we just legalized marijuana, it would change society and we would be a peaceful, voluntary socialist.
So now that pot is the accepted drug, the potheads are fine with going after yet another drug user. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like how I have a black guy friend that's a cartoonist that we interview in DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And he did this cartoon like...
Wow, you have a cartoonist friend?
Yeah. He did, well, other than you. He did this cartoon like a couple weeks after 9/11. And it was a two-panel cartoon. And it said, what a difference a day makes. And it said before 9/11 and after 9/11. And the before picture was a black guy trying to hail a taxi and a Middle Eastern taxi driver like running away and not stopping. And then it was reversed the day after 9/11. You know, it was
Wow.
There you go, man. Freedom Fiend, so much truth, it hurts.
Ouch.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Creamy Radio Audio.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. You know why people should not read Chris Cantwell? Because it's gateway media to the hard stuff, to the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
So talk about
gateway.
What? Not if he's penny boycotting us.
I was about to say, don't you mean to the soft stuff? I mean,
we're the hard stuff. He's the soft stuff, and he's the gateway to the hard stuff. Is it past your bedtime, little girl?
Maybe. Maybe. Whoa. Whoa.
What?
I'm trying to stay awake here.
Sorry. Okay. We're talking about meth, but we're obviously not doing meth. It's late at night. So, Davi, what is gateway media?
This is the first line in an article. The headline is Breaking Bad blamed for shocking rise in crystal meth usage. And the first line is a leading academic, whatever that means, claims the critically acclaimed U.S. show Breaking Bad, quote, instantly makes people curious, end quote, about crystal meth. And it's like, okay, it's gateway media. It's don't let your kids watch Breaking Bad or they'll want to get into the hard stuff.
Like, what magazine is this in? It's a UK
The Telegraph. That's the funny thing. Yeah. This is in the UK. It's not like it increased meth usage in like New Mexico where the show is based. It's like, no, people in the UK saw some like horrible story about a guy's life destroyed and people murdered and violence everywhere.
That sounds
they're like,
fun.
You know what the UK really needs? It needs more US murder. Meth. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So I can't, there are some things that you can't go on. Like there are headlines like this that you're like, somebody wrote this and they were serious about it.
Oh, well, it'll probably come up. Someone will probably try to ban it. Ban the show in UK. They love to ban things there, and it never makes anything better. Yeah.
I mean, does Law and Order make people want to be
murderers?
Bad cops or lawyers?
Or murderers?
Or
child rapists?
What is the logic with that? Like,
yeah.
It's There's like, no I'm going to go be it. One of those tough cops who breaks all the rules to get the confession. I mean, like, you there, know, like, no.
There are not any, like, heroic figures in Breaking Bad that do meth. Like, even Jesse Pinkman was a pothead, not a meth
head.
Well,
they sell meth, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay.
You never get material on stash, man.
But that's the thing. Like,
don't get high on your own supply.
Don't do it themselves. I guess Badger was sort of a cool meth head in the show.
He wasn't cool. He's cool because you could have played him in the stage of that adaptation of it.
Someday I will. Someday there will be a cult following of Breaking Bad, and we'll all meet up in like midnight showings, like Rocky Horror Picture Show, dressed up
you'll
as characters.
You'll do it at Porkfest, and then Cantwell won't. No, Cantwell could play the DEA agent.
The South
Hank.
Park guys will write a musical based on Breaking Bad.
I was just about to say someone needs to do a musical Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I'm sure
someone
happen.
Needs to get on it. There needs,
it needs to be
songs.
Break dancing bad. That's what
break dancing bad.
You've been served bad. So the interesting thing about them saying that, like, you know, this is counterintuitive to the ideas of good governance and life and truth and justice in the European way. The show Breaking Bad was made in conjunction with help from the Albuquerque Police and the Drug Enforcement Administration. I've seen both those organizations thanked for their cooperation in the credits in that show.
Your tax dollars at work. So what you're saying is, go ahead.
This article is so nuts. Like, I'm reading through it. There's this part. We live in a hedonistic generation where people are seeking pleasure from various sources, and increasingly, these are be found in the most illicit forms.
You know, that whole paragraph has been... That's been said for like 2,000 years by old people,
just,
at least.
I was just about to say that. It's like, this is like these kids are playing their jazz music. And
these kids are playing their lutes.
Man, those bright colors and those comic books are going to make kids crazy.
Oh, they said comic books were communist in the
50s. One of the original criticisms, and I kid you not, one of the original concerns about comic books was that if kids were bombarded with those, you know, high contrast images and bright colors, it would make them into maniacs.
Which is funny because parents used to always say, it's a nice day. Quit reading your comic books and go outside. Like, there's bright colors outside in nature.
There's really bright colors outside.
You know, it comes down to the word academic. There's no such thing as a leading academic. A real person who knows something about their field is a leading intellectual.
There's, yeah, man, there's bright colors outside, which is why I never go there. And I don't, I just got up 3 hours ago. I'm not a day walker like you people. You day walkers.
He's a vampire.
No, thank you guys for your service. It's been a wonderful show. I've had a lot of fun. Let's do it again sometime. Davi and I will be on New Year's Eve. It'll be fun, man. We'll be watching the ball drop during a commercial in my time zone.
Awesome.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms.